Please stand if you can out of love and respect for the word of God. Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Again, I'm very odd, so I'll read the odd verses. You're very nice and even. You can read the even verses. We'll read it together through here, verses 1 through 9. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Here we are in Acts chapter 1, and what a wonderful thing to be able to look into the picture of what the church was like back many, many thousands of years ago. Can you think of just what it was like to see Jesus Christ and to be on earth when he was, and to watch him go through all that he went through and be raised from the dead, and then talking amongst you and see him going up into heaven, and just what a miraculous thing to witness. Now, we get to see it through the eyes of Scripture, but they got to see it through their physical eyes, many of them. And what an amazing thing to see and to witness. And, of course, we have the record of that here, which we read this morning. And I want you to look at what God says to the people that had gathered there, these 120 or so that had followed him through thick and thin, through difficult times, through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and were gathered together there watching him ascend up into heaven. And Jesus says to them in verse 7, and he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to take a look at how he worded this phrase to the early church, giving them their commission of what to do, but also how to go about doing it. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say to them that you're going to go out and be witnesses unto me, and you're going to start churches, and you're going to win people to me, and you're going to do all these things in your own power, or because of the great numbers of people you have out preaching, or because of the great number of people you have giving out scripture verses and providing food for the poor and doing perhaps little parlor tricks and miracles to get people to come in. No. He didn't say that at all, did he? He didn't say, listen, you strong, able-bodied men with big bellowing voices and full of hot air. I mean, those preachers. I mean, right? Go out there and see how far your voice can carry that Jesus saves, and do it in the power of the flesh and in your own might. No, he didn't say any of those things. What did he say? He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. and ye shall be witnesses. There's a prerequisite here for the accomplishment of the work. And I told you before, we've got a work to do. Each one, reach one in 2021 is the work of the church. We have a work to do, but can I tell you today, we've talked about the each one, we've talked about the reach one, we've talked about the different things we talked about last week about preaching Christ. And that we have the work of the church to accomplish. We have all the tools necessary to go out and accomplish the work of the church. We have the people necessary to do such. We have the manpower, if you will. And ladies, that's not a slight, okay? That's a general statement, all right? We have the human power, okay? We're politically correct. We have that availability, yes? We've got vehicles, we've got the finances, we've got the tracks, we've got the different things. We've got the time and the scheduling and we've got a goal and we got a theme as a banner to set before us. All of that, right? But can I tell you something? It's all for naught unless we have the element that is so critical to accomplishing this great task. And that element is the power. The power. Not our power, but His power. So I want you to think about this thought today. Empowered to reach one. Empowered to reach one. Here the church was told that they should receive power. And that they should be witnesses and that they should be able to reach out even unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you think of this little band of believers, there were all different sorts of characters gathered here in the midst of this group. Yeah, fishermen, tax collectors. You know what? There were sinners in this group. Yeah. There were some religious people. Or should I say former religious people in this group. There were women that perhaps were not the best of examples in their community that were now part of this group. You know, Dr. Smith always used to tell us that the gospel light attracts all strange sorts of bugs. Can I tell you something? That there was a band of strange bugs here gathered together in the early church. In this group of 120, you had people from all walks of life gathered together with one thing in common, saved by grace. Yeah, that's it. And they stayed through Jesus through the hard times, through the difficult times. Some of them strayed away and came back. Remember Thomas? Yeah, he said, hey, well, I want to see it. I want to put my hand. Jesus said, here you go. Yeah. Remember Peter? I go fishing. Remember some of the disciples? They turned away because the sayings of Jesus were too hard to bear. Some of them perhaps returned. You know, the night that he was taken, they all ran away. They came back. Remember Jesus on the shore there, had the fish and had everything ready for them. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times he asked him. And you know what? They gathered together. They waited for the promise of the Father. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we know that suddenly, in verse 1, and they were in one accord in one place. In verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. We know they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out into the city, and they began to speak, and began to preach Jesus Christ. And 3,000 were saved. Can I tell you something? That was not in the power of the apostles. That was not in the power of the physical abilities of the local church at that time. But it was through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And can I tell you, Lighthouse Baptist Church, if we're going to reach one in 2021, if we're going to do this, we've got to be empowered with the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish this task. We cannot do it in the flesh. We know it's not by might, right? Nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by His Spirit. It's the power of God in us that allows us to be successful in this work. So, how are we going to go about that? I'm glad you asked. Go over to Acts chapter 4. First of all, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to speak. The power to speak. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Look what the Bible says here. The apostles here in a mess with the rulers there. And look what it says. It says in verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. No, that was not their power to speak with boldness. It was His power. And it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what happens when we're not full of the Holy Ghost? We speak in our own power. We do. Because it's all about us and not about Him. Oh, I can do this. I got this. That's a really common phrase today, right? Yeah, I got this. No, we don't. No, we don't. He's got this. And He is the one that gives us the power to speak. Have you ever been somewhere and you know you want to say something and you kind of have a feeling of what you want to say, but you open your mouth and nothing comes out? Or perhaps you've done like I've done in the past. You open your mouth and the wrong thing comes out. That happens all too often. Can I tell you something? That's because it's probably done in the flesh. Hey, folks, the flesh will fail you. It will. It will fail you. But God cannot fail. Cannot. And the Holy Spirit of God that is in you as a believer in Christ cannot fail. But we've got to let Him fill us. Do you think that this church was serious about the task that they had to accomplish? Because when they ran into trouble, what did they do? They prayed. They ran into trouble. They were imprisoned. They were tortured. They were captured. They were chased out of cities, right? These things happened to them over and over again. But what did they do? They prayed. And God gave them power to speak with boldness. With boldness. We have the power to speak through the Holy Spirit of God. If you'll notice what it says here, that when they were when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. If you read on, many people believed. There was a revival here. And of course, we see this is the introduction to Barnabas, and then we have Ananias and Sapphira and their difficulties that they had and the church and how it growed and growed. That's a terrible. Oh my goodness. What did I want to say there? It wasn't growed. They grew. Okay. Again, I'm not an English professor. Thank you. The Lord. I'm a math professor, but we should use proper English. But they grew.
Because, not because of their power, but because of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Ghost to speak. Go to Acts chapter 6. Look at verse 8. Another example. Listen to this. We'll get that in a second. All right, let's read verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now go back to verse 3. Wherefore, the brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Okay? Stephen was one of those men. Full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen didn't do this because he was an eloquent man, he was some statesman that knew how to politic people. No, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he had the power to speak. So listen on. Look at verse 9. Then there rose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So we have some top-notch scholars here and quote-unquote religious people debating with Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Stephen could not do that of his own power. And church, you and I may be studied and learned in the scriptures of things, but can I tell you, as we're going out there and we're trying to present the case for people to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's not our enticing words that draw them to the Lord. It's not our eloquence of speech that brings them to Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the power of the Word of God, not of us. And that's what made Stephen successful in debating these men. You say, he wasn't successful, they killed him. Well, yeah. But the Bible says right there, they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he said. You know what happened that day? A seed was planted in the heart of one Saul of Tarsus. See, who is that? Paul the Apostle. Because when he was on his way to Damascus, he knew exactly who he was talking to. Because Stephen told him who it was. Yeah? It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God to speak. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're empowered to reach those that God wants us to reach. We each have one to reach in our circle of influence. And God is the one that gives us, through the Holy Spirit of God, the power to speak. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, the Bible says that he calls preaching foolishness. He chose the foolishness of preaching. You know, Paul, I think, very eloquently put here, although he said he wasn't eloquent, I think he was quite. Don't forget, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He did know what he was doing in speaking to people. But he gave all the glory and all the credit to the power of God and the Spirit of God in his life. Because that's where the wisdom comes from. That's where the truth comes from. That's where the drawing power comes from to Jesus Christ. It comes from the Spirit of Almighty God that dwells within each believer. We have the power to speak. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just over one chapter. Today I put the verses in order so that you wouldn't have to go back and forth. Did you notice how nice that was of me to do so? I did. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, verse 7. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is weak. This is an earthen vessel. You know what's true about clay, porcelain, those types of things? They're handy. They're useful. They're serviceable, but they break. They break. They crack under pressure, under stress. Yeah, they do. And all that does is signify what Paul said. He says, when I am made weak, you're strong. When my weakness shows through, your strength shows up. Because God, it's not about me. It's about you. Remember what he said? He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Church, as we go out, each one to reach one this year, we've got to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to be empowered by God and His Spirit and have the power to speak. Very quickly, go to Isaiah 61. The prophets, we talked about the apostles and the disciples knowing this of a truth. Even the prophets of old knew where their words came from. Look what Isaiah says in verse 1 of chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness for the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Even Isaiah knew where his words came from. Over and over you hear, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. These were not the prophet's words. These were God's words. God's words. He's empowered us to speak. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I'll just read it to you. I alluded to this a little bit in the Sunday school lesson. Remember, Jeremiah was despised and rejected of his people. He was even kind of upset with God. He said, God, you told me to preach for you, and it's not doing anything. They're not listening. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. When the word of God and the Spirit of God is trying to, so hard to get out of you to speak to someone, you just can't hold it back. Isn't it interesting when we go out in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and we hand out a gospel tract and we start to talk to someone about the Lord, we just kind of know what to say. Why? Because He's with us. He's speaking for us. Listen, I've been amazed. I'll be talking to somebody and the conversation will go in a certain direction. And a verse I learned a long time ago, maybe as a child, just pops into my head. It's like, man, I haven't thought about that verse forever. But that's the perfect verse for this circumstance, this situation. Who did that? Yeah. It's in His power. The power to speak. All right, Acts chapter 8. Let's go back to Acts. We're talking about being empowered to reach one. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26. We're getting this example from the early church. Why? Because they followed God's example. They were the ones filled with power. He said that ye shall be filled after the... blasting. I'll get to it. Hold on. I forget things. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's where they got their power from. That was their example. That's why they did so well. That's why they lit the world on fire. I love what the city said about Paul. He said, these are they that have turned the world upside down. They flipped everything over. And we ought to be the same. We have the power to speak. Now we look at the power to go. The power to go. He told us to go. Right? We're supposed to go. Preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to be witnesses. But he didn't give us that command without empowering us to do so. He's given us the power to speak. He's given us the power to go. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go. Go. He empowered him. He brought him, told him to go to a certain place, went there, kind of just waiting. This caravan comes along, and the Holy Spirit goes, go. Yeah, go. You ever been walking down the street? And a human being walks by? And something just kind of, go. Go. You know, there have been times where I was oversaw the harvesters program. And listen, I'm for planning. Okay? Planning is important. There have been times where I had planned for an apartment complex or a certain street or area, mapped it out, you know, got the timing right so everybody was cared for. And I got the map either in my hand or I knew exactly where it was I was going, and I'm driving there, and all of a sudden, another street pops in my head, or another complex pops in my head. And it's like, okay, well, but I had this plan over here. We're supposed to go over here. No, you really need to go over here. Okay, we go over there. Someone gets saved. God says go. He empowers us to go. He said, Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. You know, I'm assuming, I think it's fair to assume a few things. You got to be real careful about that. But he's there at this place, right? He's here in the desert. Okay? I'm going to guess that this is a traveled path. We know later on that there was water there. If you're traveling through a desert and there's water, I'm going to guess that there's going to be a path there. Obviously, right? I mean, that would be stupid not to go past the water if you're traveling through the desert. So, but he says, join thyself to this chariot. Why not that chariot? Well, that one looks good. You didn't tell me which chariot at the beginning, and you just said, come down here. Ah, that direction. He is empowered to go. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 19. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go. Ha ha, there it is again. Go. We know, of course, this is Cornelius. Cornelius. Listen to God. God wanted Cornelius to be saved. Personal invitation to the preacher to come to his house. Spirit says, go. And he did. Go to Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 2. Acts 13:2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And look at the next verse. So they, being sent forth by the church. Anybody? Well, no, that's not. Oh, preacher, you read it wrong. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Huh. Yeah. Isn't that what we're talking about this morning? We are. Listen, this Holy Spirit of God that dwells within the believer has got to be the empowering source of our goal to be reached. The power to go. Look at Acts 16, verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. We're going to wrap this up in just a minute. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Whoa! Forbidden to preach? What? I mean, God didn't want them to preach to those people? I thought he said it was for every creature, for every people. He did. Just settle down. There was nothing wrong with those people. Just was the timing. The timing. It wasn't time for that yet. God had another purpose. So we see here, and he says, I stopped there. I want to mention that. And forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Door number two closed. Oh, by the way, let me just insert something here. You ever heard those people that say, when God closes a door, he opens a window? Okay? I'm going to offend some people right now. That's stupid. We don't walk through windows. Are you kidding me? No, if God wanted us to walk through windows, windows would be doors. No, when God closes a door, he opens another door. Or perhaps he'll open that door later. So just sit down. Yeah. So I say, when God closes a door, the devil opens the window. Because he wants you to go that way and when God doesn't want you to. Yeah, okay, all right. I went over like a lead balloon there. I still think it's true. Now, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Yeah? Hey, folks, the Holy Spirit of God directs us. He empowers us to go. He does. If we'll listen to his still small voice. Now listen, Paul tried. He tried to go here. He tried to go there. He tried to go to this city. He tried to go to this country. And the Holy Spirit said, no, no, no. Here it is. We've got to listen. We've got to watch for the power to go. Then very lastly, go to Romans chapter 8. We'll be done. Wrap it up here. Romans chapter 8. Got a couple more scriptures that we could go to, but we're out of time this morning. Empowered to reach. The Holy Spirit of God has got to be the element that drives us in this effort. The power to speak. The power to go. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is what we've been talking about the whole morning now, about this empowerment that has got to be in the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We'll have the power to speak, the power to go, and we'll have the power to please God. What did God say of his son? We talked about this last week when we talked about preaching Christ. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You know what? We've got to understand that in order to have the power to please God, we've got to be in the Spirit. And filled with the Spirit like a Stephen. And filled with the Spirit like Paul. And filled with the Spirit like the prophets of old. And like the New Testament church, as they spake the word of God with boldness because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh. Not after the things of the flesh. Because that is enmity against God. And it is death. And it is misery instead of life and peace and pleasing God. When we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. Cannot. Say, but I'm going and I'm handing out tracts and I'm preaching the gospel. But if you're doing it in the flesh, you cannot please God. You say, what? Yeah. See, that's a good thing to do. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the power of God, not the power of the flesh. We've got to submit ourselves to God and to the Spirit of God. Without being able to go into it completely. See, how do we do this, Brother Combs? Take the cup of your life. Dump out all of yourself. Lift it up and say, fill my cup, Lord. I need your Spirit. Fill me with my Spirit. Empty yourself. All your talents and abilities. All the things that you know you can do. And say, God, I can't. I can't without you. I can't without your power. I can't without your presence. Fill me. Use me to speak your word. Use me to go. Use me to please you with my life. Empower me.